and welcome to Minute 55 of Season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we foobar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg Award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off this week is Aaron Neuwirth of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. Welcome back to the show, Aaron.
Glad to be here. I've put away my Nazi knife, and I'm ready to just use my voice to counter all action that comes towards me.
That's a very, very smart move. Okay. I commend you on it. So, minute 55 begins with Caparzo continuing to suffer in the middle of the square, and ends with a rifle scope shot scanning the area. So we've talked the last few days of Caparzo just lying in the middle of the. Of the quad with the unknown or unseen sniper somewhere around there. Who knows what he's trying to do and what he wants to do. Obviously, this is probably – he's probably trying to do what the sniper did in Full Metal Jacket, you know,
yeah.
To lure someone else out, you know.
Exactly that.
That's the idea. Let's wound somebody and someone else will come help them and we're going to take them out too. You know, that type of
yep.
thing. Which I mean, from a unbiased perspective, it sounds like a good idea. From a biased perspective, not necessarily. You know, not the type of thing you really want to happen. But from the sniper's perspective, trying to kill as many of your enemies as possible, I commend the plan. I guess you can say. So, you know, we have Caparzo just lying there once again with blood just dripping from his arm. You know, he then starts opening up his jacket and pulls out a piece of paper, you know, which we're not really sure what it is. We'll have to wait. Maybe we'll figure out what it is. Who knows? And then the shot changes and we see Jackson's rifle. And then, you know, Jackson trying to move up from where he's slightly being hidden. And he starts praying. And he says, "Oh, my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." Now, do you have any idea where that quote is from?
No.
Okay. So it is a quote from the Bible, from the Old Testament, from Psalms. Psalm 25.
I assume it's a Bible quote, but like I'm an Old Testament kind of guy, so as some of us might say on here.
Okay, so am I, surprisingly. Yeah. You know, but so he says.
More fish's side of the room of the people present here.
Yes. slightly. So obviously, we've seen in the past that Jackson is a Bible thumping character. You know, he likes to quote from the Bible. So not only did his father take him on hunting expeditions, but apparently they would recite the Bible at the same time, trying to give themselves. Enough strength and reasons to move on, as always. You know, it's an interesting way to present this character. You know, because the idea of a sniper is to kill other soldiers. You know, and to make it that it's a very religious person, in some ways sounds a little contradictory, but it also makes a lot of sense.
That's it.
I always go back to the quote from The Patriot, the Mel Gibson movie from 2000, where Renee, I never can pronounce his last name, Aboriginoses or something like that, where he basically says sometimes the shepherd needs to go out and fend for the flock. You know, that type of thing. So, you know, even people who who have religious devotion still know that you sometimes need to fight for what's right.
Yeah, and like a guy like Pepper's character, I hesitate to say that he is, you know, he's quoting the Bible and you know, as a way to, you know, prep himself to kill people. I think it's more he's quoting the Bible as a way to, you know, give him the power to help protect his people. I think he'd phrase it that way.
Right.
Correct. There may not seem like there's a difference there, but I think in his mind that makes a difference.
Well, I think it's also something that keeps him calm.
Yeah, of course, easily. That's a very
it's his calming factor. I mean, I've mentioned this in the past, but the Kevin Costner baseball movie, For the Love of the Game, where you know you have everyone screaming at him and everything like that, and he just says to himself, you know, he has his mantra that he says, just close off everything around, all the sounds around him.
Like all the boos from everybody watching that movie?
Exactly. Exactly. It's clear
the mind? I
can't remember what it's called. No. It's something else.
All right.
I'm actually a fan of it. I think it's a fun movie.
I think it sucks.
Well, I pretty much gathered that by what you said.
It's Sam Raimi's worst movie. And I love Sam Raimi.
Is Sam Raimi's worst movie? I don't know if I would call it his worst movie. For sure not. Again, I'm a fan of it. Damn, what is it that he says? It's clear the
chamber.
Apparently, I love the movie so much that I can't remember.
Yeah, it's so memorable, clearly.
The quote. Whatever, I'm not as good with quotes as you are. Excuse me. Yeah, you're the one who should know it because you know quotes, even from movies that you don't
like. The only quote that I know from that movie is when what's her name? Kelly, what's her face? His girlfriend in the movie, and they're in the hospital, and he like cut his finger chopping wood, and she's like, is this not America? Do we not like baseball? It's really overdramatic and stupid. It's very funny.
Okay. So again, I can't remember right now what the exact quote is. It's clear the mechanism.
There you go.
He says clear the mechanism, and at that point everything is calm and quiet all around him. So again, that's more or less what the character is doing here. You know, he needs his way to calm himself down, so he, you know, recites Bible quotes. You know, he apparently likes Psalms because you know, the last time he was or maybe just did more, you know, and decided to give this character you know, quotes from Psalms all the time. And as he's doing this, again, great camera work, because it pans across and zooms in at the same time on him trying to find his enemy, and then the shot changes and we see the reverse, because we see the German sniper looking through his scope, trying to find a target with the whole thing. And, you know, we see he moves the gun across the screen, and then the shot changes and we get the look from his scope, basically, which I always love when they do these type of things in movies, where they allow us to see from the perspective of the character itself. So here's a guy who's looking through a marksman scope, and the screen has the, you know, the plus on it, looking, you know, showing us what he's looking at, and he sees, you know, Caprosa's body lying there on the ground, trying to lift himself up a little bit, with all the blood just flowing out of him to, you know, from his arm. He's holding some sort of paper in his hands. You know, we don't yet know what it is. He starts waving it around, and then he screams out and he goes, "Copy it." Caprosa screams out and goes, "Copy it, copy it, and send it for me." And Mellish tries to calm him down. He goes, "Carpi, you're gonna send it yourself. Put it down." You know, it's, again, he's making a, you know, he. do you think if Caprosa were to play dead right now, it wouldn't, the sniper wouldn't shoot him again or anything?
I don't think that'd matter. Like,
it matter to the sniper. You know, again, he's bait.
I think for one thing, he's watching everything. So, I mean, I don't think it's. I mean, yes, he can't necessarily hear it, and he can interpret things. I don't think it matters. I mean, whatever desired result of this is what he's going to get out of this, except he's not counting on, you know, another sniper, you know, blowing his brains out.
Right through the eye. But it's interesting watching how Mellish is responding to this whole thing, because, again, he's cowering to the side, making himself as small as possible behind these bricks. And he's telling Caprazzo, put it down. You're making yourself more of a target, even though there's no one else who's a target here at this point. So you can't, if you're standing on a golf course with an umbrella and everything is completely empty, you're not making yourself more of a target. You're already a target. You know.
Yeah. And it's also we're dealing with a character that's lost all right. his bearings of what's happening right now. So, he's not going to be able to multitask too many thoughts here as far as what he's doing versus right. what he wants.
Yeah, but he the fact that he's thinking about this letter is pretty amazing. You know, that this is what's important to him right now.
It's a one track mind thing. So he's not going to be like. Let me think about this while also considering this, that, and the other. He's like, I want to get this thing out because this is the one thing that's right. in my head right now.
Right. And then he goes, it's got blood on it. And he goes, I see it, Carpy. It's to my dad. It's got blood on it, Fish. Again,
does he say blood or does he say water? I think he says water.
No, he says it's got blood on it. According to the subtitles, he says it's got blood on it.
I thought it was concerned of like the fact that it was wet as
opposed to blood on it. But he pulled it out and it's getting even wetter, if that's the case.
I'm aware of that. I'm having watched the clips and watched the movie. I thought it was water.
Right. No. It sounds like he says blood, and the subtitles say that it's blood. So I'm going with blood. Survey says. I don't know. And we get another shot of the sniper readjusting his eye, trying to figure out what to do during this conversation that's going on between Caprazzo and Mellish. And then the sniper focuses once again on Caprazzo, who's holding up the thing, and he's looking around trying to find someone else. And the shot is from the viewpoint of the scope. And we see that he actually can see Miller, but he doesn't have a shot at him because Miller's standing at the edge or crouching at the edge of the car that's in the way. So the sniper then decides to move elsewhere. But what's great is they show us the close up of this sniper who is sweating profusely. I wonder if it's because it's very humid there or just because. It's showing that he's not as. They're trying to show the contrast between him and Jackson, who is very calm with everything that he's doing, and calm and collected. And this guy is nervous about what he's doing. Which do you think it is?
Is he sweating?
Yes.
Not just the rain.
He's inside of a building. You think it's rain?
I mean, it's a blown out town. I mean, it could be.
Okay. I never thought about the fact that it could be rain.
Just be water from the rain.
Okay, that's a very interesting
point. I
second 52, you can see it.
Sure. I'm saying that because he having to shoot Caprazzo and then rest himself and wait for the whatever the result of that is. That doesn't seem like a guy that would be nervous to me. That seems like a guy that has the kind of calm and collectiveness that Barry Pepper does. That's why snipers are snipers. They know how to hold themselves under pressure. And given the scenario in the town that he's in that's been, run ragged, doesn't surprise me that, the clock tower might not have the most secure of ceilings right now. I think it would just be water.
Right. Save the clock tower. okay. All right. That's fair. That could be... from the rain that it like splashed on him and stuff like that.
That he could have, you know, been standing and kind of sticking his head out earlier or something. Any number of reasons why he could have gotten wet.
Right. Sure.
And it's like, because if it was sweat, it's like, that's like basically a comical amount of sweat to be having at that point. If he's that sweaty in an environment that's, you know, not hot to begin with.
Right. And it's like, June. I'm saying it's June and it's raining right now. So, you know, it's possible that it's a little cooler because of the rain, stuff like that. No, I'm moving towards your side where it could be rain.
That's fair enough. I don't associate June with cool weather. That's all.
No, I don't either. But when I'm saying, but when it's raining, it might get a little cooler.
Yeah, but it's for sure. Yeah, when it's raining.
Like, that's what I'm saying. It's because of the. Okay. You know, it's not November. I know that. Yeah. I don't know enough about the climate in France. You know, in Normandy. As to, you know, when it's raining in June, does it get cooler or not? That I can't give you an answer to.
Yeah, it's just when you said that initially, it's like, yeah, it's June. Like, it's Friday. I wouldn't think so. I think it's cold, but yeah, it's raining out there. But yeah, regardless, it just seems like it would be a lot of sweat to have in the what's presented there if it was actually just him, like, sweating buckets.
Yeah, that's true. So, okay, it's the rain. There we go. You convinced me.
I'm not being that kind of nerd.
There you go.
Okay.
You convinced me. And then they give us another great shot of Jackson's sniper rifle, where Jackson himself is blurred, but we see the edge of the rifle getting ready, you know, for whatever shot he's going to be making. And then the shot changes again and shows us once again, you know, via the scope, where this guy is just searching around, trying to find something. We just see, you know, the river of blood, you know, from Caparzo on the street, but we don't really know what's going on here. So I you know, it's a great place to leave us so that we'll get to see on Monday how these things move forward or whatever it is. But, you know, but it's, I really like the way that it's the viewpoint view via the scope, because it also shows us where all these characters are situated within this area.
Yeah, it's neat to get that kind of that other perspective, seeing, you know, having the reveal of the German that's waiting out for, like, just getting all that angle and everything. And the tension's obviously been raising ever since he's gotten shot, because it's like, well, when's the next shot coming? It's there inherently.
Right.
And plus, there's no music in this scene, so we're really just dealing with the elements. It's just really well constructed.
Yeah, and I like that this is somewhat in contrast to, you know, the first 25 minutes of this movie, which whenever they showed us shots from the German perspective, we don't see the character. We only see, you know, the perspective of the character shooting, but we never see the characters themselves. They're like these faceless characters. And here, this is the first time that we actually get to see, you know, some sort of antagonist that's, you know, that's seeking out someone to, you know, that's seeking out his next victim, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
You know, from that perspective. So I like the way that they do that here. Okay, so that's all I have for this minute. Did you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
Nope, that's all my notes. Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Hey, is there anything else you want to say about the movie in general?
I'm, you know, doing these, it's because I like these movies, and Saving Private Ryan is certainly a fantastic film. We can gripe as long as we want about the fact that it didn't win Best Picture, but the three things that, I mean, it won multiple things, but the key things that it did win were directing, editing, and cinematography, and all three of those things are absolutely well earned. It's an incredibly made motion picture. It's the kind that, again, shifted the war genre as far as how these films were approached after the fact. It's got this, you know, stellar cast that's led by Tom Hanks doing terrific work, but you have all these great character actors as well, along with a lot of cameos. I like the story that it tells. I know people have trouble with the bookends. Some people do anyway. I'm not going to say that they're the most necessary thing, but I do like having just like I watched this movie in full last week to prepare myself, and then I watched the clip separately. So like watching it again, it hasn't been too long since I last watched it, but like watching it and just, you know, you really feel it when you get to like the end and you get to, you know, to Ryan and you, yeah, as an older person, and it's a risk to kind of remove the actors that you've been following for, you know, nearly 3 hours and go to this old person and be like, you have to give me the emotion that I need to reflect what Matt Damon has, you know, to say about this whole scenario. And he does it. Like it works. Like I like that scene.
Right.
I like feeling the way I do based on how Spielberg chooses to wrap up this entire narrative. And I used to have a little bit of an issue with the fact that it is this kind of, like I've said, this kind of vignette story where there's, you know, there's the beginning and the end of this are so, you know, there's such a thrill and so devoted to the action that they're presenting, and it's really incredible. So when you get to the actual like meat of the film, the main story of it, I used to feel like it was a little bit lesser than in aspects because of the way it's told in vignette types ways, because of its kind of it kind of divides itself up, so you're seeing like different pieces. But like as I've grown and just kind of, you know, watch this movie more and more, I've really just come to respect what it's doing as a story, what it's trying to say, why you can look at scenes like this whole one we've talked about with Caparzo and really get what Spielberg's going for with this thing as a whole. So I'm a big fan of Saving Private Ryan for sure.
Very cool. I mean, I think that the main reason that they give us the bookends was for the shock value of the whole thing, because most people, myself included, the first time you see this movie, you think that that character is Miller. And that is Tom Hanks.
I mean, you're designed to feel that way
I understand that. And it cuts obviously. To Tom Hanks. Like it's... That's right. For sure. That's my point. They want us to believe it's him. And then it therefore surprises us when, spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen this movie, when Miller doesn't make it. Because you're like, wait a second, how could he be dead? We just saw him, you know, at the beginning fake out from that perspective, because you know, if we were to know in advance that one of the main characters wasn't going to make it, it would, you know, it would make it would change the whole aspect of the movie. You know, that's one of the reasons why. And again, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen it, that's one of the reasons I love Bridge on the River Kwai, because they basically say, this is life. There's, you know, nobody is immune to something happening to them in a movie. It doesn't matter that you've been spending 3 hours with these characters, you know, and, you know, this movie is another example of that, where they say, you know, here we have this amazing character, Miller, and you think that in these type of movies, he must survive in order for the story to be effective enough, and it doesn't need to be, you know, because of the storytelling and the way that they do these type of things. So that's why I love the book.
I agree with most of that. I think is there a surprise aspect to it? Sure. But what makes Spielberg what he is, and what makes good filmmaking what good filmmaking is that, I mean, you do that, you get away with it once when somebody watches it. This movie's, you know, it's regarded as one of the greatest films at this point. I mean, it has.
Oh, for sure. I obviously, you know, I like this movie a little bit. Yeah. So
but what I'm saying is, like, the book, it has a power to it because you go through this whole journey. So like by the time you get to the end and you realize, okay, it's Matt Damon, like, is that shocking the first time? Perhaps, like, you know, that you can feel that way. But I think it extends beyond just the shock value. That's a one time thing to give you this, like, okay, so not only is it not what I might have thought it is, but it's like it's earned this whole other thing now as we watch his face morph into this old man. And it's like, wow, that's quite powerful.
Correct. In fact. Yeah, for sure. I don't misunderstand me.
I'm not misunderstanding you. I'm adding on to what you're saying.
Yes. No, I know there are people who don't like the bookends, but I think they're very effective. I mean, I don't know your opinions on Titanic. But I think it's the same type of idea where it's a story that's being told. You know, there are even a few points in this movie where you think they're gonna revert back to the old man for a second, you know, which they never do. They just keep it as bookends, which works also. But again, you know, there are points where they could have taken the story back to him for him to be telling the story to somebody, but it's not because this story is entirely in his head. You know, he's going, and he doesn't even know this part of the story. You know, Ryan wasn't here.
Yeah, and I mean that's why you can argue that it's a cheat, and why probably some people don't like the bookends, because I can understand that thought. Titanic, by the way, is one of the last great sweeping epics that we've ever had.
Yes.
That's where I'm at with
Okay. No.
Titanic.
I love Titanic. I'm so glad that they didn't.
I'm just
I'm
saying,
so glad they didn't use that
I'm just throwing my
original ending.
sure. Oh yeah, no, yeah. He did right. The results show that he made the right decision.
Yes, 100%. All right. So every Friday we have a segment called Filmmaker Friday, where my guests will give their top five Steven Spielberg movies. I know that I have not been easy on you this week with these top fives or on any of my guests because they're not easy ones to actually put in a box. But oh well, I guess you're gonna have to do it anyway.
This is actually the easiest top five
Really?
because I already have a Spielberg rank. That's not as hard.
Okay, I'm impressed.
Well, because ranking performances is weird to me. Just like it's hard to be like, is this comedy better than this drama? And you know what effort went, you know, but ranking movies, that's like I do that all day. So top five Spielberg. Number five is Schindler's List. It's Schindler's List. I mean, it's by default the least rewatchable compared to the other movies on my list, but I mean, it's still Schindler's List. Spielberg, by the way, he's also got a few good movies. I don't know if you knew
No, he
that,
does.
Rob, but he's got a few good ones going on there. Number four is E.T., the extraterrestrial. It's just like if I'm just saying the title, it's like that's
Yeah,
why.
exactly.
I don't. It's like, well, what do I justify this with? It's E.T. That's why it's on the list.
No.
That said, number three is going to be unexpected because it's Munich. Munich is my number three Spielberg film. I think Munich is absolutely terrific.
Have you ever
It's
seen
just.
the original story of Munich, Sword of Gideon?
Yeah. Yes, I had not in a while.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. Yeah. No, just wondering.
And then, yeah, no. And then there's a at the time of this recording, there's another film coming out. It's called September 5th that deals with the NBC TV control room that was there covering what was happening during that time as well. It's a really, you know, obviously a tense period of time. But like the Munich, the choices made to like show like this idea of what the kind of fall through was from the Israelis' perspective.
Right.
I think it's just a really well executed movie, a really interesting one that's during Spielberg's angry period,
Yes.
the kind of post 9/11,
Correct.
him trying to deal with a lot of different things through film, which I find to be fascinating.
Correct. And one last
Number
one second,
two,
one
number
second, one last
yeah,
question before we move on. Have you
yeah.
seen the documentary One Day in September?
Have I seen that? I might
It
have. It's
okay,
been
so
if I
it won an
haven't, I've seen
Oscar
it in a
in
long time.
1999, I believe, for best documentary, and it's all about how the media presented everything that was going on in Munich in 1972. So if you haven't had a chance to see it, I highly recommend that you seek it out. It's called One Day in September.
Yeah,
It's amazing.
I know the movie, but I cannot recall if I've actually seen it or just like know about it based on like film classes and stuff. So yeah, no, it'll be watched again at some point.
Okay.
Number two is Raiders of the Lost Ark, because it's Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's Indiana Jones. It rules. I mean, it's a perfect adventure movie, and I don't think there's anything better than it in that realm. And then Jaws, which is one of my default movies that I will use when people ask me what my favorite movie of all time is. Jaws enters into that conversation pretty quickly. So, I mean, by default, that's also it's the best Spielberg film, because Jaws is perfect. That's the reason. That's why.
That's
So,
right.
yeah, that's how that goes. Honorable mention wise, right, hanging off these other 5-star movies that are right below this list: Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the other two Indiana Jones movies, and then Minority Report, which I think is absolutely terrific.
Oh, Jay's gonna be disappointed you didn't put Jurassic Park on your list at all.
Jurassic Park is 16 on my list.
Wow. Okay.
Jurassic Park is a movie I've often described as it's my favorite movie that's not one of my favorite movies.
Okay.
Where, like, I think Jurassic Park's great. I can quote it back to front. I know it. I've seen it many, many times. I do not consider it one of my favorite movies.
Okay. And where is Saving Private Ryan on your list then? Since you already have
Private Ryan, I think is 10. Let me look at this real quick. Let's see here. I just updated this the other day. One second. Spielberg. 5 is Schindler. Close. Indy. Saving Private Ryan is 10. Yeah, it's number 10, right behind Minority Report.
Oh, wow.
This whole list is, like, amazing. the fact that Jurassic Park is 16 is just a credit to how good Spielberg is.
Yeah, for sure.
it's just nonstop hits. I mean, like, having, like, Fableman's Lincoln and Catch Me If You Can outside of the top 10, it's like, that's insane. Those are all great. Like, what am I talking about?
Exactly.
West Side Story. Like, it's amazing.
Yes. I'm a big fan of the original West Side Story, but I like Spielberg's version even more.
It rules.
Yeah.
Like, he did it. Sure. He made his musical, it's great. And it's not a West Side Story podcast, but just real quick, I talk about Kaminsky cinematography and Saving Private Ryan. At that time, it's wonderful. It's great seeing them work and collaborate together, and they follow through on that in a few more, like all of these movies. I'm so tired of Kaminsky at this, like, up to a certain point, because it's a lot of, okay, so we're still doing this, right? There's just not a lot of change up. And then he gets to West Side Story, and it's like, he did it! He did something new! Like, there's something there that I really love! Like, he shot a musical, and it looks fantastic! It's great.
Yeah.
It renewed my interest in Janusz Kaminski's work with Spielberg.
It makes sense. All right, excellent. Thank you very much for that extended list, Aaron.
For sure.
So, Aaron, yeah, would you like to one final time tell people where they can find Aaron?
Well, everything that I do lines up on my personal Substack page, thecodaseek.substack.com. My movie reviews are at We Live Entertainment. Blu-ray and Criterion reviews over at Why So Blue. I host the podcast Out Now with Aaron and Abe, my friend Abe. We talk about weekly movie releases. And I'm on all the socials at Aaron's PS4.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search, Movie Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, MovieRobMinute.com. And if you feel like sending me an email, you can send it to MovieRobMinute@MovieRob.net. So, Aaron, thank you very much for joining me this week. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I've had a great time here. I appreciate this. It's always a lot of fun to kind of go over these things in intense detail. I think there's a lot of value in analyzing, certainly when it comes to, like, filmmaking masters like Spielberg, and being like, look at all this great stuff he did within 5 minutes of filmmaking.
Exactly. Unbelievable. Yeah. All right. So I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But until then, earn this.
Earn this. My solitude,
reveries of days gone by.